And we see that these workloads have been running for nearly 2 weeks, and I checked today and they're still running. So it has been more than 3 weeks, and the GPU utilization has been so high. On the contrary, I have some examples of interactive workloads here. These are Jupyter notebooks. These are two instances of OLLaMA. And we can see that the notebooks have pretty varying utilization here. But for example, this notebook have zero average GPU utilization in past days, so that is quite waste. And the same applies to OLLaMA instances because they just reply to user questions at some times. And this is a closer comparison of two different notebooks of two different users. The first user's notebook, we can see that like the GPU and CPU utilization happen at the same time for some reason. And there are quite gaps between that. For example, this is one whole day. So the user has created a notebook, but is not using it all the time, and it's a waste. This user, however, we can see that even there are times when no resources are used. But for example, here, it's not very well visible maybe, but this is GPU utilization. Then the GPU is idle, but CPU is used, which means that the user is somehow interacting with the notebook. And this means that we cannot just decide based on GPU utilization to maybe kill the notebook or somehow remove this workload, because first, it's interactive. User might interact with it later. And second, like GPU utilization itself is not a marker of whether it's used or not. However, we might want to tell user one that he should be using jobs or something similar. We don't know why he's using notebooks. So the obvious observation is that we experience low resource utilization, and I think that like many cluster administrators know that there is low resource utilization, but especially with GPU utilization, it's painful because it's expensive. And there are some existing solutions, such as time slicing or multi-instance GPUs, which allow us to maybe like use GPU more, but like it is not possible to maybe kill the workload using the GPU and retain the progress on the GPU. And that's why we suggest using GPU checkpoint restore, which does not have this problem.
Thank you, Vicky. Transparent checkpointing, as Victoria mentioned, allows us to essentially preempt running applications and resume their execution either on the same or different nodes. This allows us to, for example, this allows us to improve the utilization by essentially prioritizing different workloads and preserving their state when, for example, they have different priority. The challenge, however, in implementing GPU checkpointing is that we have to save the internal state of the GPU and restore it back. And this is often proprietary, and we have to provide low performance overhead and make sure that the application is in consistent state. So there have been several methods proposed in the literature on how to checkpoint and restore GPU state. And the most commonly used one is what is known as device proxy interception. Or essentially, we introduce it is relying on a shared library that is preloaded for the application and replaces every device API call with a essentially client-server mechanism that keeps a record of essentially every memory transfer and every API call made to the GPU. And this allows us to separate the CPU state from the GPU state. And during restore, we can replay the API calls and restore the application. There are several challenges with this approach. First, this device proxy mechanism has to be able to load the CUDA kernels or the GPU kernels from the binary, which means it has to re-implement the same mechanisms used, for example, by the CUDA runtime. It adds an interception overhead for every API call, and it keeps a record of every host to device memory transfer. And it requires also model-specific, essentially model-specific implementation. So it doesn't work for all GPUs. You have to essentially implement the GPU support yourself. And one of the main challenges is that it requires dynamic linking. So for example, if you want to use PyTorch with this mechanism, you have to recompile PyTorch with dynamic linking. And we did a simple experiment with an open source tool called Cricket that implements this checkpointing mechanism. And we can observe that essentially loading, starting the PyTorch application, for example, it's much slower than essentially the standard execution. And every API call that's used during neural network training essentially has a lot of overhead. So we are exploring a new mechanism called essentially relying on the GPU driver to provide the checkpoint restore mechanism that is integrated into tool called CRIU. CRIU stands for Checkpoint Restore in User Space. It's an open source tool that allows us to save and restore the state of Linux processes, and it has been integrated into several container runtimes, such as Docker, Podman, and more recently in Kubernetes. And it provides GPU checkpointing support with a plugin mechanism for both AMD and NVIDIA GPUs. The way it works is using essentially the CUDA plugin allow us to checkpoint NVIDIA applications, and it uses a tool called CUDA Checkpoint, which was recently released by NVIDIA, which communicates with the driver and essentially stops the application from running on the GPU and moves the state of the application to host memory. And this allows us to create a unified checkpoint that contains both the CPU and GPU state. The advantages of this approach is that it doesn't require preloading of shared libraries, which is very helpful for containers, because essentially injecting the library into the container and setting up the environment variables is challenging. It also doesn't introduce overhead of API call interceptions and recording the memory transfers. And it works with both static and dynamic linking. And because it's implemented in the GPU driver itself, it works for all types of GPUs. The way this mechanism is integrated, yes? We have a separate plugin for AMD GPUs. This is using the essentially an implementation of the Linux kernel. I had a separate slide, but due to time constraints, I focus on the NVIDIA implementation. And the integration with Kubernetes is based on Adrian's work, Adrian Reber, who implemented support for forensic checkpointing in Kubernetes recently. And since these plugins are integrated with CRIU, we don't have to make additional changes, for example, to preload libraries or similar additional features. And the checkpoint itself is essentially working on individual containers, so it allows us to save the state of individual containers within pods and to restore them later on. And I have a short demo. So in this demo, we have a Kubernetes instance running essentially open web UI with Ollama and Jupyter notebook. So in the Jupyter notebook, we have essentially a neural network training that has high GPU utilization, but it will be running for a long time. So it's a low priority task that essentially occupies about 8 gigabytes of GPU memory and 100% of GPU utilization. And we have two users using something similar to ChatGPT, where we can essentially perform model inference. But because the GPU is already 100% utilized, these requests are very slow and takes a long time to get a response back. So this is a common problem. This type of applications usually require low response time, and optimizing the way these models respond is one of the main challenges today. So we have a checkpointing mechanism that allows us to essentially stop the training task, the Jupyter notebook, and then move the state into host memory. This is what the checkpoint shell script does. And this allows us for the inference jobs to complete much quicker, because we can preempt the training task, and then we can resume it later on with the restore script. And we, in our evaluation, we focused on what are the main factors that add latency, and how does this mechanism scale with multiple GPU devices. We observed that because large language models usually have a lot of GPU state, essentially moving the state from the GPU to host memory is fairly fast. This is what we can see for with A100 on the left graph. And then saving this, essentially the whole state to disk is usually very slow. And restoring it back is also, it takes long time. In this graph, we can observe that the blue bars show the total restore time. So this is the time it takes to essentially load the GPU state into host memory and then from host memory back into the GPU. And the GPU restore time is in orange, and the unlock time is essentially a synchronization mechanism that allows us to restore the application in consistent state, and this is negligible. The checkpoint size depends on essentially the model parameters and the quantization of the model. And we can observe that most, like 90% of the checkpoint size is GPU state, and it could be up to 97% for large models. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge other people who contribute to this work. So Andre from Google, Jesus and Steven from the NVIDIA team, and Felix and his team from AMD, and Adrian, who contributed with the Kubernetes implementation, and Lucas with providing access to Kubernetes clusters. And thank you. Thanks so much for coming so early today. And in summary, we present a fully transparent GPU checkpointing mechanism that works both with AMD and NVIDIA GPUs and has been integrated with Kubernetes. And we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Can I take the mic so we get the questions on the recording as well? Any questions for Radlisten and Van and Victoria? Yeah. And please, don't repeat the question.
So first part of the question is, to what extent does this checkpointing mechanism support checkpointing networking protocols or networking interactions? And second part of the question is, to what extent do you have to restart on the same GPU, or can you use, let's say, another NVIDIA type of GPU and restart there?
Yeah, thanks so much for the question. So for networking, so we care about stateless protocols such as TCP. UDP is not stateless protocol, so we can simply checkpoint restore UDP sockets. For TCP sockets, the kernel has essentially a functionality called TCP repair that essentially allows us to create a TCP socket, set it in the correct state, and then resume essentially the TCP connection. We have a locking mechanism that essentially allows us to drop incoming packets so that essentially when the client is not running, when the socket is closed, the kernel doesn't send responses back, so the connection stays open. So there are a few mechanisms that have been introduced to handle network connections. And for different types of GPUs, so we talked with Steven and Jesus about essentially if it might be possible to migrate, for example, from H100 to A100 GPU. But this will be very difficult because essentially the way it's implemented, it's very different for every GPU. But it is possible to migrate from essentially between different GPUs as long as they are the same and you have the same number of GPUs.
More questions?
Hey, thank you. Great talk. I have a question. Do you have any insight on like when to checkpoint? Like, what's the trigger point that you would checkpoint a job and then restore it? Obviously, when you know there's interaction going, but when to know when to checkpoint? I mean, sometimes you know maybe you're just before the user then interacts again with the job, right?
Yeah. So I mean, there are many research papers on this topic. So there are essentially some of the papers focus on providing fault tolerance. So essentially periodically checkpointing and then using the latest checkpoint to recover in the case of failure. Microsoft recently published a paper called Just-in-Time Checkpointing, which aims to essentially optimize this mechanism. And there's also serverless use cases. For example, it's much cheaper to run this type of inference workloads in serverless platforms, and then checkpoints are usually used to decrease the startup times of inference jobs. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. More questions?
So another question is a little bit more on the amount of data. Do you do anything in terms of data redundancy reductions? Like if you compute on multiple GPUs, often the workload contains the same amount of data. Is there some way to basically just drop the stuff that's similar on the GPUs, or is it just take the data from the GPU, dump it to disk, and continue from there?
Yes. So we evaluated scalability with data parallel workloads. This is essentially when we have the model using multiple GPUs and separating, for example, the data set to run on multiple GPUs. And this scales linearly. Essentially, we have to save the state of every GPU when we have multiple GPUs and restore it back. The mechanism that we are currently looking at is compression. So compression is very effective. We have seen some promising results. And this usually allows us to it's the most efficient way of compressing the data, reducing the size of the checkpoint. And there is a research paper that will appear later this year discussing this as well.
Any more questions?
So this was now for NVIDIA and AMD GPUs. In our environment, we were interested in doing something same, but totally different environment, which is on embedded software. We don't have that. It's usually other type of GPUs, ARM Mali or Broadcom Video Core. So if I want to, if you want to extend this, have this mechanism to work on other GPUs, what would you advise, how to approach that? And in your presentation, I had the impression that it was an API approach in the beginning with AMD, and then there's the approach that you do with NVIDIA, which is more the driver itself that's preparing the data structures or something. What would you advise?
Yeah. Yes, so the API mechanism is the current state of the art. So this is, for example, what Microsoft are using internally. They also announced that this is the mechanism that they use, for example, to run ChatGPT and to provide fault tolerance for their training workloads. And we are presenting a different approach. So our approach doesn't require this API interception mechanism. And it's based on what NVIDIA have introduced recently for the GPU drivers and what AMD contributed to the CRIO project. And in terms of different GPUs, essentially you have to, what I can say is that I tested the GPU checkpointing mechanism with NVIDIA with about 10 different GPUs and confirmed that it works. But yeah, you just have to see and run it and see if it works for the GPUs that you have.
Yeah, but so for us it's not NVIDIA, it's another GPU. So we would have to get the vendor doing a PUC and trying to replicate what NVIDIA is doing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but for the GPU support you need vendors.
If you want additional GPU support, you need the vendor support, because we in CRIO Upstream have seen that the GPU part is something you cannot do as an open source, or you can do it as an open source implementation, but you need to have the inside knowledge of the GPU. Without that, it's impossible. You need the vendor.
Yeah.
More questions?
I'm curious about the interactive Jupyter users, and
yes.
If you've been using this mechanism, how do you let them know that they're being preempted and when it's going to be available again? And because obviously they might be a bit surprised.
Yeah, so like we are not using exactly GPU checkpointing right now because it's very new and we haven't tested it for like production use case, I would say. But what we already do is stupid killing of this workload, and we let people know in advance with like regular automatic emails. We are monitoring the usage, like in Grafana, and we set up some politics based on our own decision that, like, if you are idle for 2 days, then, like, we are killing you. And because we have email for every user, we are always send an email that if you want, download your data, or just, like, save something, because we are going to do this. And it has been very helpful. And originally, maybe like a year ago, we had this politics on 7 days, and very quickly we decreased it to 1 day because it was not manageable this way. And we would rather prefer now to start using checkpointing, because we know that for some people their like progress is important, but if they are somewhere on holidays or what, they don't check for emails, and we get automatic replies back that they are not checking emails. So that's unfortunate for them, and that would be better. Yeah.